We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From Arlington, Texas, and joining us here from the Pac-12 Networks is our good friend, analyst Yogi Roth. Yogi, good morning, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's always good to catch up because that means college football is here. And when it comes to the Ducks, there's some big expectations. Do you think the Ducks are the best team in the Pac-12?
No, I don't. I'm going through all the training camp tours, so I only get a snippet of kind of who I've seen and what I've seen. But to me, Utah, they looked the part. And granted, it was just, again, one practice for everybody, but I did both of the teams' spring games, and I think it's close, but I think when I look at Utah, the way they competed and the way they practiced, it reminded me of when I was at SC in terms of the competitive depth and how hard practice was and how much fun it was for the guys balling. And I say that on the heels of their defensive line. If you matched up them up against every D-line in the country, it's not like a no-brainer. Hey, I'll take Auburn's D-line or I take Alabama's D-line. Like, you'd roll with Utah's D-line. They have NFL dudes littered on that front. The linebackers, they got extremely productive guys. Secondary, I think they have a first-round corner in Jalen Johnson and an NFL safety in Julian Blackman. So I just think that they've got those tools. And then you look at the history of the CFP, and everybody who's gone has been top five in some element of defense, whether it's rush yards allowed, total rush yards, and turnovers. And that's kind of what they do. And then offensively, they're fully loaded with veterans. They got a senior starting quarterback. They got, I think, the best NFL prospect at running back. A lot of scouts I talked to have co-signed on that, and Zach Moss. So I'd go with them, but Oregon's going to be impressive all season. UW will be impressive. I think SC will sneak up on people. But to answer your question, I think that Utah's the best team right now.
So Utah's got a tough matchup this weekend against BYU. Actually, tonight won't affect their race in the Pac-12, but a pretty tough matchup for week number one. Kyle Whittingham's had some really good Utah teams there. They went undefeated, Sugar Bowl win about a decade ago, had a couple of other 10-win teams. Is this, though, actually Whittingham's best team that he's had at Utah?
Yeah, man, I think it is. And I think he would say that, too. And if you track when they got into the Pac-12, Coach Whittingham, he said it was like a brand new job, and he'd already been at the helm at Utah's first game was the co-head coach. I was there, I remember, in the Fiesta Bowl against Pitt, my beloved Panthers, and they smacked us down back in 2004. But since then, going from one conference to now the Pac-12 was a different gig, and they slowly built it, right? They kept the tradition on the defensive front. You go back to the Kruger brothers, and even beforehand, you've always been, NFL players in the defensive line. But at every position, they just continued to grow and grow and grow. And then they got their quarterback out of Florida 4 years ago, and now he's a senior. And offensively, the same thing. They've got eight receivers deep, that I think, none of them are first-round picks, but they're all capable starters in major college football. So I think they're just on schedule. And that's why I don't think even tonight, it'll be tighter than people will want it to be, because Lee Corso picked them to go to the college football championship game over the weekend, et cetera, et cetera. But it's still week one. It's still a rivalry game. It won't be pretty. But I think they've got the emotional intelligence and the capacity to deal with when it's hard and when everything builds and the pressure mounts and expectations rise, because they played a ton of football.
Yogi Roth joins us. Pac-12 Networks. We're looking ahead to week one of the college football season, which begins tonight. Oregon's always been a dynamic, high-flying offense. They have the quarterback to do so with Justin Herbert. But Mario Cristobal wants a downhill running game. Will that work? Can that work, considering the Ducks have been known, branded, trademarked as a high-flying attack?
Yeah, well, I think, you're right. That's what they've been trademarked as. You go back to the Chip Kelly era. But they always ran the ball well. They had an all-conference center, I think, 10 of the last 12 years. They were one of the leaders, if not the leader in rushing, in the Pac-12 for the majority of that same tenure. And obviously things have changed the last couple seasons when they struggled and Mark Helfrich's final season, then the transition the last couple years with head coaches there. But they when they were rolling, they ran the ball. And that's going to be another truth for this team to have success. We all remember LaMichael James and, of course, Royce Freeman, you know, Kenyon Barner. I mean, they were dudes at running back. I mean, a couple of them went to New York as a Heisman finalist, let alone what Marcus did with his legs. So I think that's a big part of this team's identity that you should feel in the Auburn game. You know, they return 153 combined starts on the O-line. You know, these O-linemen were all starting as redshirt freshmen, other than Penei Sewell, who was a true freshman last year starting. But the redshirt freshmen are all 50 seniors now. So they've been around again. So they're going to have to run the ball against Auburn. It will be the best front they face on their schedule because they don't have Utah on their schedule in the regular season. And it won't be easy. You're not going to be able to just dominate the defensive line. But they're going to have to, you know, win some of those bouts. And I was at practice last week, and Mario Cristobal said it's a heavyweight bout. And it is in that regard of both teams' strengths are their offensive and, you'd argue, defensive fronts as well. So they've got the tools to do it. I think it's going to be a great game. It's unfortunate for Oregon that a few of their receivers, expected receivers, are out. You know, Micah Pittman was a freshman who was balling in camp. And last year, if you know this, man, but they had 52 drops, 17 of them on third down, 18 of them on explosive plays, which, you know, clearly are game-changing type drives. So they can't do that in this type of game. And I don't think they will. I think they've improved in that position with some transfers and just guys getting a little bit older. But I expect it to be an awesome game, and I think this one's going to come down to the final drive or two. And you got a senior quarterback in Herbert, and you got a freshman in Bo Nix, who's, you know, he's a beast, man. I thought he was the best high school quarterback in the country last year. But we'll see how the stage is for him and if he can excel for four quarters, because he's going to see a lot as Oregon has a new defensive coordinator.
Pac-12 Network's analyst Yogi Roth joins us this morning as Oregon and Auburn will have the premier college football game of the opening weekend. Thin at receiver, that's a concern for the Ducks. Justin Herbert, though, this weekend will have step number one in his Heisman hopeful campaign. What do you think? Is Herbert as good as advertised?
Yeah, I think he might be better than advertised. I think a lot of the advertisements is like, well, he's not that accurate because you look at his completion percentage, which to me, and you know, you would agree, is just pretty amateur of a take. You know, then you look into it and you're like, 52 drops, as I referenced earlier. You know, he's a dude, man. And he's got all the tools to be, you know, potential number one overall pick. And I think about this. Like, think about if you were in high school and I said, hey, you can come back for an extra year, right? Think how confident you'd be. It's the same thing in college. And that's where he's at. And again, I was in Eugene a few days ago, and he just has a different confidence about him. And you talk to quarterbacks, all of them that left early. I talked to a couple this week who left early for the league, and he had the opportunity as well and said, well, what would have your psyche been if you came back and didn't go to be a rookie? And they're like, man, I would have owned it. Like, I would have just had such a different confidence. And I think that's what he has. And I think he's got all the tools. He clearly can make every throw. He's got to improve on elements, you know, whether it's, you know, footwork in the pocket or reading coverage, all the stuff that every quarterback in the history of football has to go through. So he's not perfect. You know, he's not, you know, his armor has chinks in it, but he's human. And I think, you know, he should thrive, though. I do think that he's Heisman capable. I think that his schedule sets up better than Tua, better than Trevor Lawrence, better than any candidate. When you look at once a month, this team has a national caliber game. You know, Auburn, obviously, but then Stanford later in September, at UW late October, at SC early November. You know, tough road games, albeit that, and then potential Pac-12 title. So he'll have a stage every month to showcase his ability, and he'll have an opportunity to get to New York. And I do think he's one of the best players in the country.
That game is Saturday, 7:30 Eastern kick, 4:30 Pacific. We'll wrap up with this question. You said at the beginning that you think USC will sneak up on people. Why?
Well, it's real interesting. You go back to last year and how it ended, right? And then nationally, everybody saw like the Lynn Swann letter that came out. And it basically said we need to address culture, our staff, our scheme, and our personnel. Okay, cool. I've been in practice in spring, did their spring game, obviously been there a bunch of training camp, and those things are dramatically addressed. You know, culture. You talk to anybody in the program, things have totally flipped in terms of accountability within the program. Staff, half the staff has been replaced. Scheme, you know, the air raid is not getting enough play at SC. I mean, this is a seismic shift in the history, the 150-year history of college football. Tailback U is running the air raid. It's a big deal. And defensively, they cut out half the playbook. And any of the cancers on the team are no longer there. So I think they address their issues. You know, talent's never been an issue for them. Like, clearly they have a lot of talented players. I don't think they've got the best everything in the Pac-12. I think that's a misnomer. But they are elite. And in this offense, they're elite at the places they need to be. And that is at receiver. Therefore, could throw down against any top four in the country. And I don't think any coach would disagree with you. In the SEC, the ACC, Big 12, Big 10, whatever, you look at those four guys they have, they're all next-level players, and they're number one receivers on majority teams in the country, and majority big-time teams in the country. They've got a signal caller in JT Daniels who can deal in this offense. They got a more than capable offensive front, so they'll be able to run the ball. Like, I don't think this will be air raid like Washington State when the quarterback just has to throw himself out of a slump when things get difficult. I think he'll have the opportunity to, all right, JT's struggling right now, let's run the ball. And they got three or four capable running backs to do that. And defensively, they got young corners, and you'll get tested in this conference clearly in the passing game. But I like the rest of the defense. You know, I think it's above average. I think there's next level guys. So I think for a team that didn't go bowling, and yeah, they lost four of their, you know, losses or by a touchdown or less, like, nobody cares or wants to hear about those. But those are some truths. Like, this team wasn't that far off. And they're coming back. 2 years ago, they won the conference title. So I expect them to compete for that. And I expect them to ball in week one. And their schedule is brutal, as we all know, but that's pretty much par for the course at SC. So I expect them, Fresno State, to put up 40, to be really blunt. You know, I think that's what this offense can do. And I think throughout the season, they'll be able to play well in the majority of their games. And the challenge will be when it gets hard, what type of resiliency factor they have. And nobody knows that until you kind of get thrown into the fire, and we'll see what that happens with this year's Trojan team. But I'm buying the hype, or I'm probably the only one driving the hype train for them, where everybody else pretty much has that thing falling apart by the middle of the season. And I just don't see it that way right now.
I love having you on the show, because not only can we talk football, but also you're an adventurer. You're a wanderer. You're an explorer like I am. And over the summer, you got married in Bali. Congratulations, big guy. The pictures look beautiful. Your bride, Amy, looks absolutely stunningly gorgeous. You clean up pretty well as well. That must have been pretty awesome. How'd you get to Bali?
Yeah, well, I mean, like you, man, my life is built on sports and travel. And there's a lot of humanity in both of them. And sports exist around the world. And thankfully, my now wife loves to travel as well. She's lived all over the world. In a bunch of different countries. So we said, hey, let's see if our families are willing to take that 24-hour trek, then let's do it. And they said yes. And we took a month and went to Bali and went, you know, on our own for the first couple weeks. And then our crew showed up and then our family showed up. And then we kicked it on our own at the end. And it was magical, man. That will be a repeat stop for me every year. I checked my computer like one time, and I didn't miss a dang thing.
Nice.
So a reminder that we can check out every once in a while, and life will be okay.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Well, congratulations. You guys look super happy, and I'm thrilled for you, and I can't wait to talk more college football with you over the course of this season, man. Thanks for doing it today. Enjoy the weekend of football. We'll do it again soon.
You got it, man. Love talking to you, man. Have a great year.
Okay, you too. Yogi Roth joining us from the Pac-12 Networks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.